Hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Keep getting us your reaction to Chewy's question this morning. How far would you drive for a good supper club? He's going to do a little over an hour tonight to enjoy dinner with some pals. Folks are weighing in, man. Tracy from Keewaskum says, we do a supper club Sunday, personalized tours from Waldo. I don't know where that, where's Waldo? Oh, okay. All right.
I've driven through it. It's up 41. Yeah.
Yeah. People trying to guess where Chewy is going this evening. You automatically get a fresh basket of bread, a relish tray, a Caesar salad, and creme brulee for dessert. That from Chef Ed.
That sounds good.
Jason Wilde, why don't you answer our trivia question this morning? How far would you drive for a good supper club?
15 minutes.
Okay. Sounds about right. And you'd be on your way to one of the girls' practices, I'm guessing, right? And you'd have to swing through and grab some dinner maybe while they're at practice type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know how many times since the pandemic we've been to, like, a restaurant and, like, sat down and spent a couple of hours there. Like, I don't think we do that very often now that I stop to think about it. I think there's
Jason,
probably count them on a handful of times.
Is Eve still there? Is that Riverside? Remember Eve's?
Good question. I didn't realize you were such a supper club guy.
Oh, I love them. Love them.
Did I miss the explanation as to why?
I just
like
love
the origin story.
I love the vibe.
Can I cut through all the crap
here? Yeah, go ahead.
It's drinking.
I like a good old fashioned, and I love prime rib. No, Eve's was the place that Free
roasted
made
chicken
that Free made famous.
Yeah, I always
you know what I'm talking about.
It was always interesting that the real reason for that parking lot crash was never reported. And the switcheroo, Charles Jordan, right?
Charles was Jordan. The there was someone else that was Jason. There was someone. Yeah, well, I'll tell you off the air.
What a weird thing you guys have going on here. It's there like was, you're talking in code.
There was someone else there that kind of led to his demise as well.
So, for those that don't know this story, since Chewy and I will stop talking in code, Antonio Freeman was involved in a traffic accident in the parking lot of a supper club. And this is the kind of friend Charles Jordan was. They switched spots, and Charles Jordan took the blame and claimed that he was the one who was driving and crashed the vehicle in the parking lot of the supper club. I mean, I don't know. I like you guys. I'm not going to take the blame in a car accident and then face like legal charges for you three. Like, I love you, but come on.
Yeah.
And obviously, yes. And there was some other, let me say, amorous activity going on in the vehicle that may have caused some of the crash.
But
so,
do you get what I'm talking about when I say there was someone else there that led to his eventual demise?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I definitely
did. You know that? Did you know that?
I did.
Okay.
But he told me that about a year later.
You're looking at me like that for?
Do you want to share with the class what you're talking about?
I can't figure it out. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Again, my only clue is amorous activity. Chewy, look it up. All right, what else? What else you got?
Jason, Andy Reid considered a top five coach of all time.
Ooh. Lombardi. Paul Brown.
Shula.
Bill Belichick. Don Shula was one of the ones I was going to say. He's got to be in the discussion. I was talking with somebody yesterday just randomly about Mike Holmgren. I still can't believe that the stupid new rule about having to get 80% of the vote from that committee that he did not get in. I understand that he, I understand he's not Bill Belichick, and if he'd have won a second Super Bowl, either with you knuckleheads or with Seattle, mm-hmm. it would have been a shoe-in thing. But the dude took two organizations to the Super Bowl. Like, how did anyone not vote for him in that? And now, you know, Belichick is going to be on the ballot for coaches next year, so Mike's going to have to wait another year. And I hope he's extremely healthy and he gets to be inducted while he's still with us. Stupid.
Did the media like Mike?
I did. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I do know that he read our work more than other coaches, especially LaFleur, because he used to call Tom Silverstein at 6 o'clock in the morning to ream him out for something he didn't agree with in the newspaper. But yeah, I think so. I think all of us, and especially now, like, I think all of us have really good relationships with him. But no, I mean, he could be tough to deal with, especially, you know, for me anyway. You know, I started in 96, so I had 96, 97, 98. Obviously, things were not always great in 98 when he was yelling at fans and stuff. But, like, yeah, he paid attention to the media. Like, he read everything that was written, and he corrected things that he believed were inaccurate. So I think there were times when it was contentious for those guys. You know, I wasn't our lead writer, so it wasn't quite as, you know, it took him probably 2.5 of those 3 years to know who the hell I even was.
For whatever it's worth, guys, I did pull up the NFL head coach's wins and winning percentage. Shula's won in both categories. Well, he's won for career wins, 328. His career win percentage is 67%, 67.7. Halas has 318 career wins, 682 for his career winning percentage. Bill Belichick is third, and Andy Reid is fourth. 273 yeah. career wins, and he has a 65.1 winning percentage. So that would put him in the top five. Pretty good. Paul Brown, you mentioned, has fewer wins, but he has a 67.2 win percentage.
So, and Reid did not win a Super Bowl in Philly. He's won all of his Super Bowls in Kansas City, right?
Went to one in Philly, went to, I don't know, 1,000 NFC championship games. Felt like they're going every year and just couldn't get over that hump.
True. Yep. I remember that. Yeah, he's in the top five. Thank you, Jen, for that statistical backup.
Jason, what is Matt LaFleur's biggest strength as a head coach?
Boy, this list has really gotten everybody all riled up, hasn't it?
Well, we
did the same thing.
Well, so here's my thing with that list, Jason. Like, PFF is also, like, releasing all these other, you know, lists of positions. And right now, of all the ones that they continue to release, like, running back's the only one they're top 10 in, and yet they somehow have made the playoffs every year but one under Matt LaFleur.
Gabe's trying to set up an argument here is what he's trying to do, okay?
I mean, if they're this bad everywhere else, like, how are they doing it?
Yeah. So I think he's got a couple of strengths, first of all. Secondly, just to double check, was Kevin O'Connell on that list?
No,
he was not
about
on the list. Mm-mm. No,
like I think he. First of all, I think he's better than Matt LaFleur. Secondly, I think they're both really good. Okay, so I don't understand what the metric was for that. And there's a couple guys on there. The Sean Payton one really bugs me. I don't see it. And maybe they'll have a bunch of success this year, and I'll owe him an apology. But like, I just don't. You know, he's Mike McCarthy, but not as heavy set. So people seem to have more respect for his resume than Mike's, even though Mike's is almost exactly the same.
Sean Payton being on the list or Sean Payton being number two on the list? Which irks you more?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean,
why not both?
Two is too high. Like, I think Kevin O'Connell is I would love to play for Kevin O'Connell. I think Matt LaFleur has a couple of strengths. First of all, as I think has been demonstrated, I think he's really good with young players. I think he's a really good teacher, and I think he has figured out, perhaps as in survival mode because of the rosters that he's been given the last several years. I think he's really good at getting as much as he can out of young players. And then I think despite last year, which caused me to question this slightly, and I keep going back to, you know, he was talking at the end of the season about them being sloppy, which you never want to be hearing that word down the stretch. And then when he used the Mike McCarthyism of, well, our guys have to win their one-on-ones and get open. And I actually said this to him in a private conversation subsequently. I'm like, man, I thought the whole point of your offense is that you scheme guys open, that they don't need to win their one-on-ones because you've schemed them open. And I do think that he and his coaching staff this offseason, not my comments specifically, but that feeling that they had down the stretch last season, have kind of redoubled their efforts to make sure that their offense is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And so I think we're going to see some more wrinkles that we haven't seen before. I think it's really going to be interesting. The guy that I am, you know, I'm not betting money on him, but the guy that I'm really interested to see if he has a greater role is Luke Musgrave, because I think he wants to do a lot more two tight end stuff. And I think that he's predicated a lot of the offensive thoughts on that. And so I think those are his two strengths. I think he's really good with young players, and I think he's a really good offensive schemer, even if it didn't feel that way down the stretch last season.
All right, Jason, I guess it's time to let you go.
That was awkward.
Sorry. I was trying to decide if I should ask another question or if I should just roll into Craig Karmazin, but since we are sort of kind of keeping the clock, I figure we'll just let you go on that.
Sounds great. Always great to talk to you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jason.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We do have Craig Karmazin coming up next. And I do want to get into this conversation with him as well, because we were trying to figure out what the metrics are for the head coaches in that Pro Football Focus list. Is it Super Bowls? Is it Super Bowl appearances? Is it winning percentage? Is it just a general vibe you get when you're around the guy, right? We'll talk to Craig Karmazin about that right after this.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. We've talked about them for years here on ESPN Milwaukee, and there is a reason. Because Pella is the best in the industry. They have a product line for every budget, and right now, you can get no interest, no payments for up to 2 years. I'm getting my front door redone at the house. And of course, the only people I was going through was going to be Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I can't wait. Finally had that phone call this week of that install date happening in about a month. Can't wait for the beautiful new front door for our house from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But again, maybe if you're looking for new windows, if plans to wait, get it now, and then wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply, and 6/30/2025, so set your free in-home consultation today. PellaWI.com, and when you go to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, make sure you tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.